here, and I try to read this scripture every time because I think it's a great opportunity to remind us that what's going on, about to go on, has been going on for almost 2,000 years. And so in Acts chapter 14, it said, when Paul had gotten back to Antioch, they gathered the church together and they began to report all things that God had done with them and how God had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And that's what I hope to do tonight, is to share what God has done with us and how God has opened some doors, especially among the Native American people in the Phoenix area. For those of you that have been here and heard this presentation a couple of times, you'll hear some repeat. And for some, it will. I tried to mix it in with the new, with the old, because sometimes there's people who weren't here and then others who were here but forgot. And so we'll just try to give everybody a little bit of what's been going on. But before I begin, I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you. We appreciate you guys. We can't do it. It makes it so much more difficult. I shouldn't say we can't do it, because people do preach and do the work and have a full-time job, but it makes it so much better when we're able to fully focus our time and effort on the Lord's work. And so we give thanks to you guys and all that you help us to do. Want to let you get a chance to see the family here. My parents are on here on this one. This is our Christmas photo, but it was the most recent one that we had. And it gives me an opportunity for you to see the kids. Some of you, I was here by myself last year, so you might not have recognized the girls. They've really grown. But we're also excited because they just became Christians within this last year, the two oldest. And so we praise God for that, that they're our new sisters in Christ. And so 15, 13, almost 11, almost 9 is their ages. And so they're here with us this time, and I'm thankful to be on the road with them. For those of you that don't know where Arizona is, this is, I know that Texas is kind of its own country, you know, and so you get outside of Texas, people forget. But Arizona, and we're in Mesa, and Phoenix, really, Mesa's kind of just a suburb, but Phoenix is where I have found the majority of Native Americans are at as far as one particular location. For instance, Denver is a big city, and there's about 20,000, maybe 30,000 Native Americans in Denver. Albuquerque is a good-sized city. It's pretty close to the reservation. I found that there's about 50,000 Native Americans in Albuquerque. So for Phoenix to have 130,000, this is really sort of a hub of where people are moving to for jobs, for school, and just for better opportunities. And that's where we decided to do the church plant about 4.5 years ago. And what we did is we tried to find out, is there a location where maybe they live maybe in one particular area, the demographics pretty much spread out all over the city. So you have to narrow it down. And what we decided to do were two factors. You can see an orange arrow that is right there, kind of the yellow squares. SCC stands for Scottsdale Community College. MCC is Mesa Community College. And then ASU is Arizona State. Between those three schools, we found that there were about 10,000 Native American students. And I said, as our long-term goal is, we would like to see more Native Americans that we could possibly convert, train up, equip, and then send them out to the various reservations, because there's 22 reservations just in Arizona. And there's over 300 reservations around the United States. And to the best of my knowledge, there's only 5 of those reservations that have the Lord's Church. And so I know I'm not going to move to all of those places, but with as many different tribes as move into Phoenix, we felt like God would open those doors, and then they can go out to these other reservations. And it's been working. So we thought, you know, if we could work with these 10,000 Native American students in these colleges, that would be a good place to work. And if you see, there's sort of a yellow triangle that comes down in between the freeways, that's the Salt River Pima Reservation. And this reservation is not very big in comparison to where I grew up. I grew up on the Navajo Reservation, which is bigger than the state of West Virginia. This reservation would take you about 15 minutes to drive across. But you can see Mesa is to the south of it, and then Scottsdale is on the west side of it. So if any of you have ever seen when they have the Super Bowl parties or all the things in Scottsdale, it's right on the border there of Scottsdale and Mesa. And there's about 5,000 to 7,000 Native Americans, Pima, of the Pima tribe, that live on this reservation. So we put a lot of our emphasis there because 95% of the people who live there are Native American. But the majority of Native Americans don't live on the reservation. They live in Scottsdale and Tempe and Mesa and Phoenix. And so we're trying to just figure out ways of reaching those people. And we try to say, when we first moved out there, how are we going to begin? Well, start with people you know. Stenson Osif was the guy that grew up in Kayenta. His parents are Christians out in Kayenta. So I used to, for those of you that don't know, I preached in Kayenta for 9 years. And Kayenta is on the Navajo Reservation. And my parents were missionaries out there for 24 years. So I was born and raised out there. And then after school and getting married, we moved back to Kayenta for 9 years and preached out there. Stenson's parents became Christians. And then he moved down to Phoenix to go to school, to get work. And so he said, "Hey, Stenson, how would you like to help us do a church plant?" Well, he was 21 years old at the time, and he said, "Hey, that would be great." And so we started with Stenson and a few others. But what's interesting about Stenson is he is Navajo, but he registers Salt River Pima. He's part Hopi and he's part Pima, but he registers with the Pima tribe. And so what that did is it allowed us an opportunity to have an inroad into the Salt River reservation. So anytime we needed to rent buildings, if we needed to talk to the council members, anything like that, Stenson was our guy. So you can see that you're thinking, God, he just opened that door right there for us to be able to get in there. And he, just to kind of show you his heart, he has always had this desire that he wanted to serve more. And so he had a chance to go to Bear Valley Bible Institute back in August of this past year. Well, as some of you might can relate to, school was not his strong point. I mean, he gave it his best shot, but he wasn't able to keep up with the speed of the classes, the amount of work in the classes. It's not in vain. You know, he gained a lot of knowledge. But he's now working with us back in Mesa again, and so we're happy to have him back. But he just has a big heart. He teaches our teen classes. He teaches little kids' classes. While I'm gone, he's going to be helping to teach the adult classes. Just a great servant, and we're happy to have him. Another person that we started with from Kayenta as well is Evan. When he was a kid, he used to worship with my parents and ride the joy bus. Well, he was going to school at ASU, and we said, "Hey, Evan, why don't you come?" And some of you have heard this story, but he became a Christian about 4.5 years ago, and 3 months after becoming a Christian, his 15-month-old son dies. So you can imagine that you're just became a Christian. You're like, you know what? I'm trying to follow God. I want God to be first in my life, and then 3 months later, your son dies. Are you going to say, "Why, God? What's your problem? You know, I thought I was following you." But he decided to put his faith and trust in God. And man, their faith grew like crazy. And they wanted to really do more. And so they've got two daughters now, Faith and Kinley. But they did go to Bear Valley Bible Institute and graduated a year ago, May. And now they have moved back with us and are helping with the work in Mesa. And that was the original intent, is to get these young people to come back. And as some of you may keep up with the bulletin, the church in Salt River has grown dramatically over the last year. And I believe the biggest part is having Evan back, because, man, he's doing Bible studies, he preaches, he teaches, he does visitation. just does so much for our congregation. And once you have more leadership, then you can have more people that are able to come in. So we are, again, very blessed. And just to kind of see that this was our intention, and he wants to be in with us for about another 4 years and then possibly move on to the Navajo Reservation and do the work there. Evan's first cousin is Reggie Totticini. So you got Evan Totticini and Reggie Totticini, also from Kayenta. His grandmother was one of the first Christians when my parents, back in the 70s in Kayenta. So you see fruit that's coming along from years of work. Anyway, Reggie moved down to Phoenix for a job and education, and he married somebody from the Apache Reservation. So his wife is Apache. And they had fallen away for several years, but about a year ago, they were restored. And man, they have been growing in their faith and doing a great job. In fact, he preached this morning and is doing a wonderful job. They put together the directory for the church, and that takes a lot of work. They're teaching kids classes. We're very thankful to have Reggie and Tia and all the work that they're doing. And then this family, I may have told you about them last year, but again, this family, Will and Stephanie, and they have four girls. Only three of them are pictured. But all four daughters have become Christians. And then Mikey's husband, Ramon, he became a Christian. And then as of a year ago, about June, Will, the father, he became a Christian. Well, this is the first time, I've been preaching since 2002 amongst the Native Americans, the first time that we've ever had a whole family that were Christians. So when people say, well, are you guys getting close to having elders? I'm like, man, it's been 16 years and we finally have everybody that first time family that everyone's a Christian. So it takes some time. It's a long process. It's a slow process, but you know, it's great to see some of the fruits that are coming about. Oh, I got to, he became a Christian like in May or June last year, and then a month later they moved away. So that happens, right? We're small congregations, they move away, but I heard that they may be moving back to Mesa in the next 3 to 6 months. So who knows? God places us in the body where he needs us. One of the ladies was living up on the Navajo Reservation from Winter Rock, and she got a job transfer down to Phoenix. Already a Christian, already teaching ladies classes, and just strong in her faith. And when she moved down, she heard about the work that we were doing, and she's been with us. Her daughter Celeste, pictured here, also became a Christian about 3 or 4 years ago. Her oldest daughter, Jessica, just graduated from college last Saturday with a bachelor's in accounting. And so we're very thankful to have her. She's married to Matthew, who is the first cousin of Stenson Osif. So he's also from Kayenta. I'll quiz you on all of these relations later on. But Matthew's father passed away about 2 years ago in Kayenta from arson. Somebody set fire to their trailer, and his dad died in that fire. And so his faith has been shaken, and so he has not been worshiping with us for several years. But in the last month, he's come twice. And so, Lord willing, you know, God is working on his heart, and so we're praying that we'll be able to see him back. And their son, Richard, there. Ellen is, she became a Christian 4.5 years ago, single mom of four. She's Hopi. She grew up on the Hopi Reservation. And you can see three of her children pictured here. But her oldest, if you remember, Sydney, went to Harding. And so she just finished up her second year at Harding. She's studying engineering. And she has been talking to her professors at Harding about the Hopi Reservation and how there's no church there. The Lord's church is not there. One of her professors took a liking to this opportunity. So sounds like next spring break, 2019, they're going to be going out to the Hopi Reservation and trying to see what could happen. So they're going to take a group out there, and because her mom is from there, she's got connections with the tribe, with some of the leaders, with some of the community members. So our goal, again, was to kind of reach out, and you can see how God is opening these doors in different ways. So keep Sydney in your prayers. This is Aaron. Aaron is one of the brothers from the Phoenix area, that longtime Christian, just preaches, he teaches, he's there every time the doors are open, but he provides that maturity when we've got so many young Christians and new Christians, just solid. He really does a great job of serving and anything that needs to be done. He's a graduate of Southwestern and also Oklahoma Christian, and you can see him here with the teen class, but he's also very evangelistic. Edna on the far left is a Filipino lady, and she just became a Christian within the last month or two, and he studied with her. I forget, was like a friend of a friend, and started studying, and she became a Christian. Michelle is from the Salt River Pima Reservation. He studied with her. She became a Christian back in August. Michelle told her son, this is Michael Hill, and so Michael's from the reservation, and told him, he became a Christian about 3 weeks ago. So he was just baptized into Christ, and he's 22, maybe. So again, God is opening some doors with some young men that we hope to equip and be able to do some more work. Wayne and Susan Floyd were another older couple, mature in their faith, that God had brought to the congregation. They said, hey, you're doing a church plant. We want to be a part of that. And so they've been with us from almost the very beginning and provide a lot of help. And for our new Christians to see, you know, some people that are in their 70s that are there every time and serving and working and just really putting in their life effort into this, it makes a big impression on our new Christians. And so we're very blessed to have Wayne and Susan Floyd. We also have done door knocking. Amelia, I've told her story before, but she had just gotten out of jail when we came knocking on her door about 3 or 4 years ago. And she had been in there for about 2 years because of drug problems and had lost her son, Truett. Truett is on the far right-hand corner. And then her sister had died not that long after she had gotten out of jail. And so she had to take custody of her niece. And so Samantha is her niece, and she's been doing a good job. She just recently, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, got a job at Journey to Recovery. It's on the reservation. It's kind of a halfway house for recovering alcoholics and drug addicts. And so she's now been working there and doing a real good job. She was also on a video called Faces of Recovery. Because, you know, sometimes the only stories you hear about are the bad stories. You know, this person is locked up. This person died of an overdose. This person. Well, what the tribe did is they made a video of those who were addicts and then came through it. And they chose 7 people out of the Salt River Reservation, and she was one of the 7. So it's pretty, she's really making a difference, and we're happy to have her. She also brought her best friend, Sonny, and Sonny was baptized into Christ about 2 months ago. So you can kind of see that one person tells another person, and that's the way the Lord's church grows. Justin, I've told you his story. He's that guy that's been there, done that. And we knocked his door, and he was willing to study with us. 15 years in jail. Drugs, alcohol, just addicted since the time he was probably 16 years old. The reason he went to jail is he was panhandling, asking for money, and wanting to buy some beer. And the guy was making fun of him for panhandling. Well, he stabbed the guy and went to jail. And then when he was in jail, he got in a fight with the guard, so they gave him another 5 years. He said, you know what? I better shape up, or I'm going to spend the rest of my life in here. So he did, and when he got out, we were able to touch base and study with him, and he's been a Christian now for about 4 years, and he talks to everybody about the church and about the Lord, and man, it's awesome because of how he's talking with everybody. For I've told this story before, but he does dialysis, and so they pick him up, and he has a driver, and he goes, "Hey, Josh." He goes, "I got this new driver. She's from the Navajo Reservation." Hold on. And then he just hands a phone over, you know. And so you're picking up a conversation just from blank, you know, from they didn't know that they were going to talk to me, and I didn't know I was going to talk to them. But one of the people that he talked to was Tom Largo. Tom does a prison ministry on Sundays. And I forgot what denomination he's from. But anyway, Justin was talking to him. And he said, "Hey, there's an opening on Thursdays for the Bible study. The guy is leaving." Well, Justin was talking to him about us, and Tom Largo talked to me. And then because of Tom's recommendation, that door opened up. And so we've almost been at the jail for 2 years now teaching there. And it's been really encouraging. We've had 6 baptisms there. But what's challenging is you're not allowed to share private information. And so once they get out, we haven't really been able to do the follow-up. And so we've lost a couple of them to just, we don't know where they're at. A couple of them are still in there. And then, so 3 of them are still in there. 2 of them we lost touch with. But another guy, Donald, I met him in jail. But this guy is sharp. I mean, he's got his master's degree from ASU. He was working in the law offices on the reservation, but his alcoholism just got the best of him. And so he was serving time, and man, you could tell he was well-versed in the Bible. And we started studying, and when he got out of jail, he is the one that was at this journey to recovery doing the detox and the classes and all of that. And he said, "Hey, Josh," he said, "they don't have a Bible study over here. They got all these other classes on parenting, anger management, classes for AA, you know, all this stuff. But he's like, they don't have any Bible classes. Would you be willing to come over?" I'm like, "Sure." So he set up a meeting with the director. And now we are the only church that's going in there and doing Bible studies every Tuesday night. And about 2 months ago, they made the decision. It wasn't us, but they made the decision that their van on Sunday mornings, it used to go to the Assembly of God there on the reservation. Now they're bringing them to us. So we have maybe 5 or 6 every Sunday that show up in the van. And so that's one of the activities and the opportunities that has been provided, because Justin told Tom Largo, who then opened the door for me, that opened the door for Donald, and then Donald got us into JTR. And I mean, you can see those were not on our to-do list. When we were first going out there, we weren't saying, "Yeah, we need to do jail ministry. We need to get in a halfway house." It wasn't even on the radar. God has just opened that door right there and put it in our lap. One of the guys from JTR is Matthew, and he was doing really well for about 2 months. And then when he got out of the halfway house, we haven't really seen him that much. Again, we don't have his contact information. We've touched base with him a couple of times, but he said he's just been working nonstop. So we're hoping, again, his faith can grow and he can get plugged in and have that support system. So he became a Christian about 3 months ago. Another opportunity that we've tried back in the fall is we had the Bear Valley students come in, and we went to the campuses. We wanted to try it and just see what it was like. Arizona State is currently the largest university in America. It's over 66,000 students, and so it is huge. And right now, the Lord's Church doesn't have any presence there. We don't have any campus ministry. No congregation is doing anything with ASU at the Tempe campus. So we just went out there and started handing out flyers and seeing what could happen, and it turned out really well. We also went to the Mesa Community College, and this community college has over 20,000. And both of these colleges are within 5 minutes of our building. So if you drive 5 minutes west, there's ASU. If you drive 5 minutes south, there's Mesa Community College. So we are located in a really a nice spot there in Mesa. But we just haven't had the manpower to follow up, really, because these other open doors have happened with the jail and the JTR. So we've just sort of let the campus be for now. About 2 months ago, Roger and Marcinda, they are from Kayenta, and they had been converted when we were up there. Their 19-year-old son committed suicide. And so they asked me if I would do the funeral. So Kayenta is about 5 hours north. So we went up there and did the funeral and tried to encourage the church there in Kayenta, encourage Roger and Marcinda, their brothers and sisters in Christ, but they had fallen away. They had not been worshiping with the Lord's church for about 2 years. And after this happened and the way the church came and really supported them, they repented that during that time that we were there, and they said, we want to come back. And so we praise God for that. It is so sad about their 19-year-old son. You can see the burial here, just a grave, the dirt grave that is there. You remember Aaron, the black guy that I had shown you earlier? He had never been up to the reservation, so I took him with me. And one of the things that he said was, I didn't realize how poor it was up there. You know, he's like, I didn't realize that. And he had been to a lot of funerals. The other thing that kind of surprised him was a lot of times at grave sites, once you lower the casket, everybody kind of goes there. The bulldozer is still there, the front end loader. And so they shovel the dirt for a while, and then the bulldozer comes and finish it, and then you finish out how it's going to look on the final thing there. But it was kind of a different culture from what he was used to. Well, when I was there, the best friend of Justin, also 19 years old, committed suicide a week later. And his mom is a sister in Christ. So two people in the congregation had sons that committed suicide a week apart. So keep Kayenta in your prayers. It's been a very difficult, challenging time for them. On a positive note, a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, there's a charity in Phoenix called Feed My Starving Children. They may have one here as well, but it's a charity group, and what they do is they package food, and then they send it to third world countries. And that night that we went, they were packing it for the Philippines. And so we had 33 people from our congregation. We went Wednesday after Bible study. And what I thought was encouraging is six of our young families. So it was the young families and their children that came. And so you had little ones that were scooping rice and dried vegetables and putting it in a bag. And then we were able to put it in boxes, and then they shipped it off to the Philippines. And so that brought us together as a charitable opportunity, as we're still young and trying to learn different things that we can do as a congregation, but it turned out nice. Another opportunity that happened that just because of the way it happened was these are some of my classmates and also teammates. So 25 years ago, I was part of a state basketball championship team on the reservation. It was the first time that a Navajo boys team from any reservation in Arizona had ever won the state championship. It had never been done before. And so they honored us at this year's boys state championship. And so we went out there at halftime. And so I had classmates and some teammates, and there were a lot of fans that remembered that time. But one of my teammates lives down in Phoenix, him and his wife, and they said, hey, where do you guys worship at? And because of that reunion, they have been worshiping with us now, and so we're hoping to get into a Bible study with them. And so just things that, because of your background and it kind of works out together, that God is opening some doors for some more people. The rest of the people that I want to show you here were already Christians that had either fallen away and were restored this past year, or they moved into our area and started worshiping with us. In 2017, we had 39 new faces added to our congregation. 17 were baptisms and 22 were people that just moved in to our area. So I wanted to show you some of these. Bennett and his wife Randy Begay, their two children, they were restored. They had not been worshiping, but were restored to us this past year. And then Marvin and Tisha, they are from Kayenta, but moved down to Phoenix, and we heard about them, so we tried to latch on and say, hey, you guys get apart and worship with us and get them connected. And that's the goal. That was our original goal, is what happens in Mesa affects what happens in Kayenta. What happens in Kayenta and up on the northern side affects what happens down in Phoenix. So they're moving down and worshiping with us and doing great. Stenson, I told you about him, who went to Bear Valley. This is his brother. He used to live on the north side of Phoenix, but moved down. And once he moved down, he started worshiping with us. He and his wife are Christians, doing a good job. And then we had some other, you know, we try not to be racist. We allow white people. You know, we allow some black people as well. So Native Americans. We've got actually six Navajo, Hopi, Pima, Papago, and Apache. So we've got those tribes. We've got white, black, Filipino. You know, we've had some visitors, and they're saying, this is one of the most diverse congregations I have ever been a part of. It's just a lot of different. That one time when we had the college night, when we were going with the college, we had a devotional one evening, and we had 17 different either tribes or nations represented. We had Afghanistan, we had Puerto Rico, I mean, 17, and I think there were a total of 60 people there. 60 people, and we had 17 different cultures of some kind. So it was pretty neat. But the two ladies on the right side, they're sisters, and they were at the Tempe congregation, but a year ago, Tempe added instrumental music and women's leadership and some of those things. And so they came over and started worshiping with us. Tamu, she was in Cameroon before I went there. And so she was working as a missionary in Cameroon for a couple of years. But she is a certified counselor. She worked 30 years in the secular world as a counselor. But now she's all about belief therapy, just saying it's all found in the Bible, you know. And so she heard about our work and moved to be with us back in June of last year. And you talk about somebody that's working behind the scenes. I don't get the calls like I used to. Some of the difficult, challenging, very difficult things, I don't get as much of that. Because of Tamu, because of Aaron, because of Wayne and Susan, because of Evan, because she has really added a lot and, again, brings that stability. So Jim is another one of those mature Christians, been there a long time, been a Christian a long time, and is part of the congregation. Carrie is another sister in Christ. Her daughter Olivia have also moved into the area and worshiping with us. Patricia became a Christian about 4 months ago, and her son Miles and her daughter, Larry and Carol, they just became Christians back in December. They live right across the street, just in an apartment complex, and saw a sign and just walked over, and we studied with them. And they went back to their apartment complex and shared how they became Christians. And then Brent, he started coming and visiting with us, and he obeyed the gospel about a month ago. Well, Brent's wife just so happens to be Apache. Just, again, the way people are talking to somebody and it opens doors, where she's been coming. We haven't been able to study with her just yet, but Lord willing, she'll become a Christian here as well. So I hope it was all able to make some sense, and you can see some of the things that God has been doing. Again, so much has happened, and we just want to say thank you to this congregation, because I hope you feel like you're partnering with us in what's going on there, that this is something that you have been a part of, and for Todd and the boys to be able to come out last year, and then this year they're going to come out. We give thanks. We really do. You guys are making a big difference, and we want to say thank you for all that you do, and appreciate your prayers. Please continue to keep us in prayers, and if you're ever out that way, you're like, you know what, we're just going to vacation in Phoenix this time, not in the summer, but you know, come out and spend some time, come worship with us. And it's been neat to have other congregations when they're saying, yeah, we were in Phoenix for a business trip and we just extended it an extra day, or it was over the weekend, so we're going to come worship with you. That's kind of neat as a congregation that's supporting, that they just stop in at any time and can get a chance to see a work that they've only seen in pictures. But here they are sitting on in our midst and worshiping with us. And it makes a difference, because now there's actually a connection that you have with them because you've been there. So if you ever get a chance, come on out and spend some time with us. I know Arizona is way out there, but you still make it out there sometimes if in your travels, and think about that. But thank you again. God's blessings to you. And I know that it really wasn't a sermon tonight, but you did see a lot of people who come from difficult situations, some restorations, some who became Christians. If any of you need the prayers of the congregation, and maybe you're just encouraged by tonight and feel like you're maybe needing some extra prayers or just some help from the congregation, let us know. We've got a song prepared, and we encourage you to stand and sing as we finish out the night.
Draw.